Fish on a Heater.
And I'm DeFi250.
And this is PvP Corner, the PvP podcast that is debating what the best fast attack to run is. DeFi, welcome back. Another week of PvP.
Yeah. I have not been doing a lot of PvPing this week, but that is okay. That is just fine. I did a little bit. I did my 12-hour stream, which was really, really fun with... I had Enhoff on. I had Final Boss AJ on for a little while. And that was really enjoyable. I had a great time. So I did some PvP at that point. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it was just a really fun time doing my 12-hour stream. I downloaded and played the first part of a game called Celeste, which is a platformer. I'm terrible at platforming games. I'm just really, and like the little puzzles and stuff, like I'm really bad at it. So I think a lot of people enjoyed just watching me do like two jumps and then die. And then two jumps and then die. And then one jump and then die. And then maybe I figure out how to get to three or four jumps and then die.
Some people watch streamers to see the best gameplay. DeFi, she's cornering the other end of the market.
Yes, yeah, sometimes you'd like to watch the streamer just... learning
splatter
because splatter, but that's kind of the point of the game. Is it's meant to be a very difficult game, and it's meant to talk about like your failures are how you learn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's notably a very good game, fun little indie game, but very like as a platformer, it is not for beginners. It is challenging.
Okay, so in terms of what GBL have you been doing, is there anything to speak of there?
I have currently a team called Welcome to the Jungle. It has a Clodsire, a Mantine, and a Vigoroth. So that must have been the last thing I decided to run several days ago. I like Clodsire. I remember liking Clodsire because it was a really neutral lead that you could either win, like significantly win the lead, or just kind of soft lose it. The only thing that Clodsire really, really doesn't like to see is a Mud Boy, in which case you would switch into Vigoroth right away. But most of the time you just stay in the lead with Clodsire and Jungle Cup, and I kind of like that. I like that it's... you know, I've got my lead matchup figured out. I know exactly what I'm going to do unless it's like a Whiskash, a Swampert, or a Quagsire in the lead.
Have you seen any Swampert?
Couple.
Yeah, okay.
Not many.
I don't think I've seen any. It's all been Quag and Whis.
I saw a few.
Yeah,
lots of Quagsire, lots of Whis. More of Quagsire and Whiskash for sure. But yeah. I've seen a few Swampert. I'm also in a very low elo range. 2389.
Sure. I've seen a reasonable amount of Blizzard Whiskash.
Ooh.
It's on its way back for this meta, the one time only. Just because, you know, there's flyers around, like it can hit Mantine, it can hit the Abomasnow. Like, there's a few things that would otherwise wall it if it was running the standard moveset of Scald and a Mud Bomb. And, you know, it packs that surprise factor as well. Unfortunately, I think for Blizzard, a lot of the Pokemon that are relevant in this meta are bulky enough to survive a Blizzard. Like, I was running a battle with Mantine against the Whiskash, and the Whiskash Blizzarded me, and I'm sure the trainer was like, got him. But, like, it only did, like, just over 50% of my health, and I managed to like wing attack them down from there. So I'm not sure how viable it is. It does pack that surprise factor, and it does have that ability to hit mons that it otherwise wouldn't be able to hit, but it does have its trade-offs as well.
Yep. One thing to note, I was looking at that recommended teams by Top European Battlers graphic from Rise and Inadequance. And the way this team came about was I originally was looking at one from the Gengar Life that had Greninja in it. It was Clodsire, Vigoroth, Greninja.
Ooh.
And I tried the Greninja and it was awful. I did not have a good experience with Greninja, even as a closer. Like, I agreed with like Clodsire is a bulky neutral lead that can soft lose. You know, and then it says allowing Greninja to farm down, but I just didn't have that experience. Like, I had the like Clodsire, yes, neutral bulky lead, I like it, and then I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing with Greninja, is like it needs energy in store to cause some real damage. Like, if you do like get into an end game with a couple of Hydro Cannons banked, and then you can take out a Vigoroth like that. Otherwise, if it's at the beginning of the battle and all shields are in play on both sides, that Greninja's going down fast.
Otherwise, we can take a look. We're going to see more Jungle Cup coming up April 12th to the 19th. We're also going to have Open Master League. If you haven't had enough Jungle Cup yet, Master League is Palkia O up at the top of that rankings list, that origin form Palkia, followed with Zygarde, Therian Landorus, so not the genie, the one that looks like a cat, kind of, the one with four legs. Dragonite, both Shadow and Regular, will do you just fine. Giratina, the Altered with the leggies. Regular Palkia, Groudon, Solgaleo, Kyurem, and then Giratine O, which is the snaky form. So those are your Master League Pokemon. Only one, not a legendary or a mythical, and that is Dragonite, proving to kind of be like timeless almost in Pokemon Go PvP.
And also proving how welcome the Master League Premiere will be, because that'll be just a completely different kettle of fish.
Yes, I am very much looking forward to it. I'll actually play it, but to talk about it, we'll have April 19th to the 26th. It'll be all three open leagues. Pick your poison, open great, open ultra, open master. But then 1 week ahead, April 26th to May 3rd, there it is. Master League Premier is back up against the Open Great League. So a lot of people probably going to do Open Great League, but I would suggest giving Master League Premier a try. It should be really interesting to have all of those legendary and mythical Pokemon out of the equation. Lots of Dragonite. I think we might see like Gyarados, Goodra. Florges is a really, really strong Pokemon that's pretty accessible. We've seen Flabébé a lot, like a lot. Mm-hmm. So you should have XL Candy for Flabébé into Florges, Mamoswine, Ursa. This is an Ursaluna opportunity. I love my level 50 Ursaluna. So lots and lots of different options. So Premier is going to be no legendary, no mythical, no Ultra Beast. And I think that'll be a fun meta. Maybe Annihilape.
Ooh.
Level 50 Annihilape. I don't know. I think it'll be fun. It'll be different.
Yeah, for sure. So that is the next 3 weeks of Go Battle League. Let's move on to our in-game events. We have a bug event coming up. It is the Bug Out 2024 event happening Friday, April 12th at 10 a.m. to Wednesday, April 17th, 8 p.m. local time. You get increased candy and candy XL for nice throws. And as far as the spawns and whatnot go, there's not a lot there. Is there anything, like, if you were to pick one thing from the list, what would you kind of target?
I don't know. If you don't have a good Beedrill, sometimes Beedrill can be really good in restricted metas, as can Crustle, and Dwubble is in the pool as well. I'm going to be looking for shiny Pokemon during this event personally, but those are the two that stand out as they make appearances in restricted metas. Even just taking a look at like one star raids, Skorupi, if you need XL candy for Ultra League Drapion. That's about it, really. Have fun with your shiny hunting and your collection challenges. Get that Wimpod. I didn't get a Wimpod. Wimpod will be in field research tasks. You can get some field research casts for mega candy. The bonus, though, getting XL candy for nice throws or better is kind of nice if you're looking for XL candy for anything, or you just need candy to evolve things. Also, just Mega Heracross looks so cool. So lots of like non-PvP things that I'm excited for.
I have seen a couple of Ultra League Crustle in the past, depending on the meta. So maybe some XLs for that.
Sure. You could also XL a Dwubble. You can make a level 50 Dwubble.
Yes. Probably even more useful than the Crustle, I would say.
It's a fun little friend.
Yes, it is. Next up, we have an announcement about the upcoming Community Day, and the Pokemon being featured is Bellsprout. Of course, it gets covered in the main show when they do make these announcements, but we want to look at it from a PvP perspective. It is getting a new move, and that is the Fast Attack Magical Leaf. DeFi, do you have any thoughts on Magical Leaf over the standard Razor Leaf?
Meh is my my initial thought. Magical Leaf, like, it's fine. Like, it's fine. Like, it's not a bad move by far. I don't want to say that, like, this is terrible, ignore it. I don't want that to be the vibe.
I actually think it's a good move.
I feel like it's fine, like, for Shadow Victory Bell specifically. Like, if you're looking your Shadow Vic users or your, like, Victory Bell users. I feel like Victory Bell really benefits from that extreme fast move pressure that Razor Leaf provides it. And so I think it would equally benefit from something like a Bullet Seed or a Vine Whip, something that generates a bunch of energy so it can be really spammy. Magical Leaf is neither of those things. And I'm just not sure that it's good. Like, I'm not, it's probably fine. I still prefer Roserade personally for, like, your grass poison. I like Roserade quite a bit better. And I mentioned this before the podcast started. I don't love 3-turn fast moves. I think they're really clunky. And Magical Leaf is a 3-turn fast move. So I just kind of have a little bit of a bias against 3-turn fast moves. 2-turn and 1-turn are where it's at. And then Incinerate as, like, a 5-turn move is, like, really powerful, but it's also has a lot of give and take for, like, its benefits and its weaknesses. 3 is just annoying. Like, I don't like using 3-turn moves. I try to avoid it if I can.
So, interestingly, the Shadow Victory Bell actually picks up a reasonable, quite a decent amount of wins in the Zero Shields against the Great League meta. So, with Magical Leaf over Razor Leaf, in the Zeros, you're picking up Annihilate, Charger Bug, Cresselia, Dugong, Feraligatr, Poliwrath, and Umbreon at the cost of Carbink and Medicham. That's a pretty good list. In the One Shield, it's a net negative. You're losing Feraligatr and opposing Shadow Vic with the Razor Leaf. You're picking up Umbreon. And I think in the Two Shields, like, that would be clear. I'm just loading that up now. That would be a clear victory for the Razor Leaf version. Yeah, there's a lot of losses here and no gains in the Two Shields. The other thing, though, is that the regular Victory Bell actually benefits quite a lot. The regular Victory Bell in the One Shields picks up both Night Slash and Ice Punch version of Annihilate, where the Shadow Vic only picks up the Night Slash version. It still picks up Charger Bug, still picks up Empoleon, Pelipper, Sableye, and opposing Shadow Vic with no losses, with no extra losses. Against the core Great League meta, it's got a win rate in the One Shield of 23-17.
Like, I hear you, but I'm still, I think maybe we can say, like, fine, this is maybe, like, can be an improvement for Victory Bell, but I'm talking, like, in the meta as a whole as well, like, I'd still use, like, a Venusaur over it, like, any day of the week. A Venusaur or even, like, Roserade, which I think is just kind of fun and silly.
We will see. I reckon someone will bring one to a Play Pokemon tournament, do really well with it, and that will be the proof of concept that everyone needs to be like, yeah, of course this thing is good.
I don't know. I'll believe it. I'll put it in the I'll believe it when I see it camp. Again, I'm not saying that it's bad. I don't want the message to be that I think it's bad. I just don't think it's, like, impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been sold that it's, like, the new sauce. I think it's just, like, fine.
Well, not... I mean, you're always saying I need to see the numbers. I'm giving you some numbers.
Okay.
But yeah, we will see. I might be drastically wrong as well.
Time will tell. Victory Bell copium going on.
All right, so that's our in-game event section. Let's move on. It is the Play Pokemon section. EUIC happened, and it was a very, very hype tournament, DeFi.
It was. And that was actually part of my 12-hour stream. That's how I started, was just co-streaming some EUIC battles and had a really, really good time with it. I loved rooting on Paula, who made it to fourth place, which is actually the highest placing woman ever in an official Pokemon tournament. Not Pokemon Go, Pokemon.
Including she won one.
Well, in an
IC, there we go. Okay.
So in an international event, that is, she is the highest placing woman, period.
Yeah, wow. Well, congrats.
Yep. Previously held by Anna and Hoff Hoffman with a fifth place international, I believe. So that is awesome.
Go's just smashing it.
Go is smashing it. Paul is smashing it with a Magnezone, which is the best part of her just like knocking it out of the park, was using a Magnezone to crush her enemies. I absolutely loved it. And we got to see it a fair bit on stream as well.
Mm-hmm. I did try, and I made the most effort that I've made in a while to watch a Play Pokemon stream. I was running a poker series over the weekend. So one of those, I've talked about it before, one of those, you know, weekends where I'm working 15 hours every day, but I did kind of set up my computer and have it on in the background and just kind of peeked over whenever there was a break in all the poker players demanding my attention. So I did manage to just catch some really cool matchups between, like I saw Logan Rocket battling on stream. I saw the one between, I think it was Ventuski and Meweedle, which seemed really hype. I didn't manage to see any of Paula's battles, unfortunately, but getting to see one or two battles from the eventual winner, Meweedle, was fun.
Yeah, Meweedle had a great tournament, also completing kind of, he's won like a regional and international, and he has a world's title from the senior division. So getting to kind of complete that trifecta, like it's Axon, is really, really cool. And he had just a fantastic tournament running a Shadow Alolan Sandslash and a Skeledirge. The Skeledirge was kind of the big exciting Pokemon that we got to see him run. The crowd was really into it. I think you could hear in the crowd, like, the Europeans wanted the European to win because it was him versus Dune in the grand final, which, like, Dune in the grand final is exactly what I would have predicted, because he's kind of on a roll. So when he got knocked down to the loser side of the bracket by Sandodu from France, that was crazy. Because we're so used to seeing Dune just win and win and win and win and win. So seeing him take a loss was pretty interesting. He did end up, Dune ended up beating Sandodu in the loser's finals, which brought Dune back up to the Grands to face Meweedle, where Meweedle just went on a tear, like 3-0 done in the Grand Finals. So really just goes to show how talented Meweedle is. I think he also had a little bit of like team composition, had some really good leads. That Skeledirge was really just incredible. You can also take a look at Dune's team. I can pull that up really quickly. So Dune was running a pretty standard team at this point: Skarmory, Lickitung, Shadow Gligar, Shadow Whiscash, Annihilate, and Lantern. Did really, really well with it. Meweedle also really utilized that Altaria. I saw a lot of Meweedle's Altaria, I believe, in the Dune Bug battles, and I think that was really pivotal for Meweedle in those battles. I would have to go back and watch them again a little more carefully, but that was really great. It was fun to watch those on Sunday. I had to rewatch it because I did not wake up at like whatever it was, 2 a.m. to watch, because I had just done the 12-hour stream and then I went to bed and I stayed there. But yeah, Paula's team was incredible to watch with the Shadow Magnezone. And she also had a double flyer strategy with Skarmory and Altaria. I really enjoyed Hikami brought the Clodsire And we saw quite a bit of Hikami's run as well, making it quite far in the tournament. Arrow made it surprisingly far, again, coming in as a North American battler with Guzzlord and Whimsicott, along with bringing back Shadow Charizard as well. Arrow's team was really, really interesting. I'd like to go back and watch maybe a few more of his battles back, because he did really incredibly well in this tournament. I'm trying to think. There were some early exits that I think were kind of notable.
Actually, before you move on to that, I'm going to put this out there. Tell me what you think. Arrow, most talented trainer in the world to have never won a Play Pokemon tournament. Agree or disagree?
I think he's up there in terms of talented trainers who've never won a tournament. I would definitely put him. I would put him up there. He is very, very talented. He's a very, very talented trainer. I would put him up there. I just think maybe most talented, like North American.
Okay. Is there anyone you can think of in EU?
That's what's hard. I'm not as fluent in the EU battlers, but I know that there's a lot of them that are very good, and I feel like they haven't gotten as much spotlight. But
a mind joke, has he won one yet?
I'd have to look. I'm not sure.
I don't think that he would has, be... he's like up there.
Yeah.
There's also C. Leonardo 7, who was, I believe, number one in Sylph in the world at one point. But hasn't
A mind joke has only gotten up to third place.
Yeah, okay. Best. Yeah, so that would be a... Oh, you know what? Rubik's Master.
Yep, that I was going to say. I'm like, I'm sure Rubik's, I'll put him at number one. He's my number one, but I'll put Arrow in my top five for North American battlers who have never won a tournament. I'd put Enhoff in there. I'd put...
Caleb Peng has also actually gotten more second place than Rubik's Master, I guess.
Yeah.
Or something, or maybe the same amount.
Yeah, very famously only second place. I think Magmar Man I would put up there.
Ooh, okay.
In North America.
Yeah.
So I can when you sit down and think about it, I do think Arrow is a very talented battler, who just hasn't had like his win. He hasn't had his moment
that
yet.
That
breakthrough performance.
And we're also
There are others.
Yeah, yeah. And we're also completely glossing over the Latin American region, which would have some absolutely busted battlers, don't know them.
Extremely, as well as APAC.
Yeah, like Vroom Vroom Pow in India.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was... Vroom Vroom Pow took part in our most recent Ultra League draft in the Palatown server, and I was wiping the floor with everyone until I matched up with Vroom in like the second to last round, and then he wiped the floor with me and went on to win the tournament.
Yeah. Also, Andres in Spain. And,
oh, she hasn't won yet.
No, she's got second place in Torino. Second. That was our all women's final. And then in LATAM, one of the Lindos battlers, her name is like, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's like Germunes.
Mm-hmm.
Is incredibly talented. She got third place in Curitiba, fifth place in Natal last season. She's incredible as well.
Who would I put from Oceania? Yusei Furu. I'd throw Rocket Claire in there. And has Rick Flareon won one?
Let's look. I don't know. Let me find out. Rick Flareon has gotten... He won Melbourne 2022.
Okay, so
that very
he
first
can't
season.
Count then. So yeah, Yusei and Rocket Claire, I think, would be top two for best to have never won.
I'm just like curious who's in the leaderboard overall for Oceania. Like who's doing well. I want to find out, so I'm going to. Yakko Yusei. Again, some of these are names and some of them are gamer tags. Triple Crit? Has Triple Crit ever won?
No, he very notably came second to Yakko in the most recent regional, and that was like the one that went to all 10 battles. Like, it was a bracket reset, went to five in the first one, went to five in the second one. Very like a marathon matchup. And it's funny, I never actually mentioned this on the podcast. Like, Triple Crit was running Bastiodon, right? And afterwards, we were all hanging out at a bar after, and we were talking, and he was insisting that Bastiodon's actually not that RPS a Pokemon. And I'm like, come on, man. it's the definition of RPS. And he's like, no. It's not that alignment dependent. I'm like, it is 100% alignment dependent. Yeah, we never came to a resolution on that, but I'm pretty darn confident I'm right on that one.
Mikey Morgs?
I have not battled him or seen any of his battles, so I can't actually comment. But, you know, he has a resume, so he can certainly be in the conversation.
Third place in Sydney last season, seventh place in Brisbane this season.
He clearly knows his stuff.
Okay. I'm curious. One thing we can also talk about is that leaderboard is going to be coming to a close pretty soon. Top three trainers getting Travel Award 2. Worlds. So in Oceania, that's Yakko, Yusei, and Valiant Vish.
Mm-hmm.
If we take a look currently at North America, that's kind of the big one. I don't know when the last time this was updated. I don't know if this is... So this was last updated today. Cool. All right. So Dune famously winning. And then it's Lyle, Jeffs the Third, and Nighttime Clasher coming in with those top three. Chris Reisner, though, could definitely unseat Nighttime Clasher. It wouldn't be too difficult within about 100 points. Lots of really talented trainers fighting for that one. If we're looking at LATAM, Ewern10, Andrew Manjarrez, and then one of our Brazilian friends who has his name but not his gamer tag. So I would have to look.
I know Andrew Manjarrez is top quality, and I don't know if he's won
one. Phenomenal.
I think I might have battled him in the past.
Hold on, I'm going to figure out who this Brazilian player is. Zardy!
Zardy's won.
Zardy's in the top there. I was like, who? It's frustrating because like half the time in the leaderboard, it's a name. It's the person's like name, and then sometimes it's... Like, I see Emilio XX right up next to, like, a name of somebody. I'm like, I don't know. I wish it was just, I wish it were consistent. And then in Europe, your top three, Statistan, Colin, Six, and Potamon. But Stone Collection is, like, right there. extremely close. Inadequance, right there. So... Lots of contention, I think, for those top three spots in the leaderboards in those regions.
Yeah, it's and this conversation is interesting because, like, I know that the idea of like the quote unquote best battlers is such a subjective thing, but I think it's just fun to have those conversations.
Yep, these are the ones, again, and you can do best by what metrics. I think you need to have a variety.
Yeah.
Dune, I think, is easily one of the best battlers in the world. It's hard to, like, have a definitive ranking, but having a metric, like, has the most championship points, I think, total. No, Ewerton, what's his, because it's not E110, it's, Ewerton, who is that in LATAM? Hold, please. Rargaff.
Yep.
So, cool. Like, Rargaff actually has the most championship points, I think, total out of everybody.
So, there's how many people are over 1,000 right now?
Just Rargaff.
Yeah,
according to this leaderboard, that could have changed. Like, if EUIC points, like, it says it's been updated on the 9th, but I don't know if EUIC points are in this leaderboard. Like, do they have that data yet? But it's just Rargraph that's there, because here Dune has 979, Lyle has 942. But if once EUIC goes in, if it's not in already, that'll change.
I tend to use, when I'm like judging the skill level of a battler, I tend to look more, I use what I call the eye test more than just the physical resume. Like, for example, I was telling people how good Avrip is before he, you know, finally got on a streamed battle in Worlds, and everyone was like, hey, who's this guy? Like, because I'd battled the guy and like seen just how sharp he is when he is battling, and like how he's able to find win cons where you don't think any exist. That's where I tend to get my opinion from in a conversation like this, just having battled or seen battles from a particular person. I can't ignore the resume. Like, Doonbug by now has such a stellar resume that it's like, well, you've got to accept it, whether you've battled against him or not. Like, you've got to accept he's one of the best. But yeah.
So that's your little update on the leaderboard situation. I'm really interested to see how this is going to pan out. Days to earn championship points are quickly disappearing. Not even a full 2 months left to do that. So this is going to wrap up very shortly. Our first season with championship points. It feels like they've been around forever. But yeah, interested to see what kind of happens once that this season has closed and we can reflect and think how things are going to be moving forward. I wonder, like, what's going to change, what's going to stay the same. I think overall, though, I think the championship point system and locals have been a really good thing. So I'm hoping, I think just need some adjustments maybe moving forward. But overall, I think it's having these official tournament circuit events at the local level has been very positive.
So coming up this weekend, we have Orlando happening in Florida. That is 108 people strong. So people have been showing up, turning out for that one. Perth, it's got 24, but there is a big, exciting thing that is happening with Perth. So long-time listeners might remember PvP Steve. He has been a guest on this podcast. He is one of the most selfless people in the community. Like, he just really wants the community to be at its best. And he has been working since last year to get a community stream running for one of these regionals. I was talking to him when he was trying to get Melbourne off the ground as a community stream. Like, it wasn't being streamed in an official sense, so he was like, hey, I can do it for you guys. That didn't get off the ground, but he has managed to get it happening for Perth. So Perth is going to be streamed on PvP Steve's was it YouTube channel or Twitch?
I think it's, let's look, because I have a link to the announcement. It says, incredibly excited to announce the Play Pokemon Perth Regional. Tune in to twitch.tv/PvPSteve7. And that is going to be at 10 a.m.
Australian Western Standard Time.
It's that. AWST, which is going to be 4 a.m. I believe
Central
that's
European good. Time, I believe.
Yeah. Yep, and then I know the last one, 7 p.m. Pacific.
That'd be a good time for, like, 7 p.m. Friday night for the Western U.S. people.
Yep. So I think that'll be fun. We've got Fishy Legs, Debbie Pebble, and PvP Steve. I think Fishy Legs is also remoting in, as well as Rise to Occasion over in North America. I'm not sure if he's going to be on the ground. PvP Steve and Debbie Pebble will be on the ground making it happen. I'm a little nervous for them because it's hard. Like, I'm trying to picture, like, how are you going to get, if this isn't an official stream, how are you going to get the videos, like, from the, of the battles? Like, how is this going to work? But we in PvP Steve we trust. We'll figure it out.
There is a lot to it. Like, I haven't done, like, too much in terms of production. Like, all I've done is, like, the Gym Breakers Twitch streams and, like, the Sylph Worlds here and there. Like, it's pretty easy to just get the recordings of videos there. And I've done some, like, live stuff as well using, like, Discord to grab people's phone screens and stuff. Like, so I've got, like, a little bit of an idea, but not a lot in terms of, like, what goes behind the production of things like this. It will be very tricky, potentially very costly, but if anyone has the ability to do it, it is this man, Steve.
through sheer force of will.
Force of I will.
For that is how Steve is going to get this done. So I am very interested. I'm very hopeful that that'll go well and we'll be able to get, if we can't get official streams there, I'd love to see something consistent from the community side to be able to showcase the fantastic battlers in the land down under. But we have lots of events coming up, lots of special events, not necessarily events with regional titles, but special events, so opportunities to earn those championship points. We have so we have the Orlando and Perth this weekend. Sao Paulo is going to be April 20th to 21st. Then we have a ton going on in May. May in LATAM is just the opportunity to get those championship points if you are there and but you just haven't hit that threshold yet. We have Indianapolis in the US on May 4th. That, I think, we're over 100 at this point in Indianapolis. Stockholm, that sold out. That's done May 11th. Mexico City has a special event as well on May 11th. And then we go to Bogota, Santiago. We have Los Angeles here in North America that is picking up the pace. That is Memorial Day weekend here in North America, May 25th to 26th. The same weekend as Lima. And then Bologna is the last regional of the season, June 1st to 2nd in Italy. Then it'll be NAIC and then we're done. Then it's just kind of a waiting game until Worlds, which we have the dates now. We know the Worlds dates. That was the other EUIC announcement. Long anticipated dates for Worlds. So people booking their flights, I'm sure, saw they went up like significantly, like within that announcement period.
And we haven't actually written them down in our show notes. So it was August 16th through 18th. Was that right?
If that's that weekend, then yes. If that's the weekend, I know. I can picture it in the calendar. Let me just double check if that's the weekend.
Not a good showing from us.
No, it's Friday 16th to the 18th. I could picture where it is in my calendar. I just didn't know what the numbers were.
Sure.
I was like, it's the third weekend of August, whatever that is.
All right. So that is our Play Pokemon section. Good luck if you are one of the people competing in these upcoming regionals. Let's move on to our mailbag. We have three mails this week, three more mails to get to. The first one is one that has been pushed up because it is a time-sensitive one. It comes from Zezanox, sent in the 9th of April, which is, yesterday for me.
Today
for you. Hi there. Just a reminder that Tapu Bulu is coming again soon, an easier raid boss with Master League potential. It's out for 2 weeks, and with double free raid passes, that's 31 free raids, but keeping in mind saving one from the day before and then two in the morning before it rotates out. With a grass or fairy mega, this should take you to close to your goal of 296 XL candies. Remember, trade, walk, and rare candy tips as well. Best hundo luck, Zezanox. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to do that.
I probably won't as well, but that is a really great tip if you want a Pokemon that you can use in Master League. Maybe it's not the best Master League Pokemon, but it's certainly usable in Master League with its new move. If you want a Pokemon that you can definitely like get for basically free, that's definitely an option.
Yeah, and like I'm aware that might have sounded rude. it is an absolutely great tip, and it shows that it is perfectly possible to get a fully built out Master League Pokemon for free. I think for me, my concern is like, where am I going to find people to raid with twice a day for the next 2 weeks? Remote raid, but then it's not free anymore. I'm spending money on that. It's nice. Even if it was something like top tier, like a Groudon or a Mewtwo, like I still don't think I'd be able to get out every day for 2 weeks and raid a legendary Pokemon. Just because like there's so few people that play the game in my city.
That's fair. And definitely a struggle for a lot of trainers. I know I would be hard pressed to be able to complete two raids as well in my rural community. But for trainers who can, that is an opportunity. Because it will be getting that Nature's Madness charged attack, which is pretty solid. And again, it's a grass and fairy type in the Master League. So you've got, like, you'd beat like a Dragonite. You'd beat like Kyogre, some of these ground types. I think you'd have a hard time against a lot of things like Giratina, Ho-Oh. Mm-hmm. But, you know, definitely something that is usable. And you're capable of building it out, which is awesome.
So thank you, Zezanox, for that. Next up, we have an email from Chuck sent in on the 29th of March, who says, would you like to know the ultimate Great League team that almost never loses? All right, here we go. So first, you need a Typhlosion with Incinerate and Blast Burn. You can choose a second move for all of these, but I don't have the resources to. Next, you need a Celebi with Confusion and Seed Bomb. Finally, you need a Bibarel with Water Gun and Surf. Now you have the ultimate Great League team, but start out with Typhlosion and take down their shields. By Mudkip Vibes. Chuck.
Yep, that is what you call a tap-tap team. It is fast move pressure only. So I love the Mudkip Vibes, Chuck. That is very good. But yeah, that is a team. There's a lot of teams we call that. Like, for example, Bastiodon Double Razor Leaf. Because mm-hmm. all you're doing, like, you don't switch out. Or, like, if you do, you switch out the one time. And you just kind of tap your screen because it's all fast move pressure. You don't have to worry about reaching your charge moves at all. I think just that blast burn with Typhlosion, the shields get knocked out and you just tap, 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 tap.
I have battled with, I might have battled with Celebi in the past. I'm not quite sure, but I've definitely battled with Bibarel and Typhlosion. And I find both of those Pokemon very, very fun, particularly Typhlosion in Ultra League, because it's not just fast attack pressure, it's also got that blast burn as well, so it's actually like a lot of pressure on both ends of the scale. Its problem, of course, is that it's pretty glassy, so it can't really take a hit, so you're kind of relying on being able to dish out the damage a little faster than what you're taking it. But if you can achieve that, like Typhlosion with an energy lead is really fun.
Yes, I know Typhlosion's something I've run in Ultra League, I think, before.
Yeah.
I think there's quite a few Typhlosion Ultra League teams that work out pretty well. So yeah, Justice Flare Typhlosion, I'll say that's the pick that I like the most. Other, like, Celebi's just adorable. We love Celebi.
Totally.
I don't know if I'm a big fan of Typhlosion in the Great League, though. It gets a little more bulk in the Ultra League,
I feel like.
But yeah, thank you, Chuck, so much for writing in. Then it looks like we have a voicemail from Sarah Amanda.
Yeah, Sarah Amanda sent in a voicemail referring to the solo episode that I did a couple of weeks ago, and I was kind of looking for feedback on that because, like, I wasn't sure how. Like, I felt it was very rambly, and also that the audio quality was not up to scratch, but I did get some good feedback from some people. Some people did confirm, yeah, at the start it was a little rambly, but once you hit your stride, you did great, sounded great. So this is the voicemail from Sarah Amanda.
Hey Fish, it's Sarah Amanda here. Just finished listening to your solo episode, and I just wanted to say your voice sounds great. That's the reason why I originally started to listen to PvP Quarter. So don't be all self-deprecating like that. And also, I just wanted to say it was also a nice episode. It was like listening to my BFF. Well, we're not BFFs. We're ultra friends forever. I'm okay with it though, because... Anyway, so it was like listening to my ultra friend forever tell me all about what's going on in PvP. And it was nice. That's all. Peace. Sarah Amanda.
Aw, thank you, ultra friend. Ultra friend forever. That's cute.
That is very cute, yeah. And like there are a lot of people who I have not managed to get up to ultra friend with. So testament to Sarah Amanda for that. Thank you for that feedback. I've never actually been told that I've got a good voice. So that was lovely to hear. I appreciate that.
And well, I think, have we done it? Have we completed a quicker episode? I think we might. I think this might be it.
So it's time to introduce our new segment. No. where Fish lists all the energy counts of fast moves.
Oh, no. I'm going to go let the dog out. I'll be back in a little bit. Misty is
whining. So Air Slash.
I'm just gonna put the mic down, put the headphones down.
Take Misty for a walk. You come back. I'm like, Shadowclaw, that's that's an 8 energy. All right, achievements from the people in the Palutena Discord server. We've got Magikarp, who hit the 2250 ELO, the earliest they have ever done so. Bandman Clayton has hit expert and number 408 on the leaderboard. Came very, very close to hitting legend as well, I saw on stream. He does stream every now and then. So check him out. Bandman Clayton is the name. Timur Rapp has hit veteran. S. Regatuelo has finished their GBL time research. And Liam Lennon hit ace. DeFi, do you have anything to plug?
No, other than I am in trouble if I don't start getting my battles done soon. I am not going to hit legend and I am not going to complete 500 battles at the rate I'm currently going. But I'm just enjoying doing other stuff. Like on stream, on that 12-hour stream, which was a blast again. I finished my, because I never did the epilogue from the Scarlet and Violet story. There was one last epilogue that they did with one of the mythicals. And I actually got to complete that. The Mochi Mochi dance is creepy. Let me just, anyone who is familiar, anyone who knows, if you know, you know, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I'll put it up there.
Valid.
I'll put it up there with Blacephalon in terms of things that I don't like from the Pokemon universe. Otherwise, no, I'm hoping to get back into some more regular streaming, maybe even if it's just on the weekends to start and then getting kind of into it. This week has been crazy busy already, but that 12-hour stream was so much fun. So if you were a listener and you were out there in the chat for it, I appreciate you because it was a good time. Had AJ almost hit expert. Like, she was like one set off, so she got to like finish her expert run on her own stream. And she like blew right past it. So that was really cool. And yeah. And Anna came on right when I was just losing my absolute mind at about the 10 hour mark of being live. You lose it. That's what ends up, like, I was like, I can't use my brain anymore. Anna, help me. It's not working.
And with that, we love hearing your feedback. If you have any questions or suggestions for myself or DeFi, you can direct it to pvpcorner@gocastpodcast.com. You can send us a voicemail or physical mail to the GoCast PO Box. Take a look at the show description for the phone number and the PO Box address. In the show description, you can also click on More Fish or More DeFi to take you to our other projects and ways to contact us. And also, don't forget to have a listen to the other two shows on the podcast feed. We've got the main GoCast podcast to get news, tips, and community in the world of Pokemon Go. And the newest addition to the family, Star Piece, where Chris and Lachlan recently interviews Fish on a Heater. Also, the episode prior to that was Archaic, who is the webmaster of Bulbapedia. And with that, we'll see you next week.
Have a good week. Bye.
Charge Beam, that's an interesting one. That's 11 energy, so it really gets to some of those moves quicker than you think for such a Leafage is a 7 energy move, so it gets to the first Frenzy Plant in 6
Now,
only
moves.
One Pokemon in the game knows this move, and that is Delibird. It is 12 energy for 3 damage, so it's kind of comparable
headbutt,
to Rollout.
That's only 6 energy for 8 damage, but I kind of wish that one was a little better.